And I'm more about raising up a generation of leaders that have really good character than I am about raising up a generation of leaders that know how to really make great coffee.
Welcome to the Durango Joe's podcast, where we believe everyone deserves a smile, a warm greeting, and a great cup of coffee. I'm Trevor, and I'm joined by Joe Lloyd.
Hey, Trevor.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
In our first episode, we explored Joe's past, the origin story of Durango Joe's, and also discussed what it's been like for Joe as the company grew and his role changed. As he added more team members to his leadership team, he had to give up some of that day-to-day ownership he had over the company, delegating it to people like Steve Cernkovich, Mark Lowry, and Tiffany DeBoer, members of the leadership team you're surely going to hear from in coming episodes. Now, if you know Joe like I do, you know that for him, taking a step back from operations doesn't mean he's spending long weekdays off on the trails. For Joe, the work isn't done. Over these last handful of years, he's refocused his efforts to leadership development and steering the long-term direction of the company, rather than that day-to-day. Today, we're talking about how to lead when you're not in charge, one of the leadership concepts that Joe has adopted and adapted, and it's taught to every new employee at Durango Joe's at some point.
Let's talk a little bit about this document that you've created and have kind of used for Durango Joe's, which is how to lead when you're not in charge. Where does this concept, how to lead when you're not in charge, come from?
And all of that, as we begin to grow, I'm like, you know, I just don't want to create, or I just don't want to develop a bunch of people that make really good coffee, because that's not what our world really needs. Our world needs a bunch of leaders. And so my shift in my head, probably year two or three, when we had 15, 25 employees, I'm like, I really want to start to develop these young people into leaders. Not just good baristas, but leaders where they can go from Durango Joe's and be a way better version of themselves when they get the next job. Because we know at Durango Joe's that not everybody's going to work for us for a long period of time. And we do have a two-year commitment, which I can't wait to talk about some of those elements on how we hire. And Tiffany's going to be a rock star when she's able to talk about that, because she is in charge. She is our gatekeeper. Tiffany DeBoer is the gatekeeper for our culture. And I've entrusted in her to make sure that all the people that we hire now are fit our culture. Yeah. And so anyway, she's going to be talking to you in one of these episodes coming up and joining us. And it'll be a lot of fun to have her and Steve Cernkovich, our general manager, as well. But that's where it started. Mm-hmm. Is I want to instill some real strong servant leadership principles into our company, where these people that have worked for us get way more out of it than sometimes they put into it.
So I think one of the key things, let's kind of break down how to lead when you're not in charge. Yeah. What does it mean to be not in charge, but to be a leader?
Yeah, because everybody, I'll tell you right now, how we view success in leadership isn't their title. It's success in leadership is influence. And so I've had to break it down for people and go, hey, even though you're new in this company, you can, if I take the word lead out of it and put influence, it makes sense. You can influence people on your team. And people get that. But if I were to say, hey, you can be a leader, they're like, I'm not paid to be a leader, and I haven't been here long enough. I don't even know anything about the company. Well, guess what? Here at Durango Joe's, you can influence people, other people, in a positive way. And that's really how we define leadership at Durango Joe's, because we believe that the easiest way to spot a leader at Durango Joe's isn't by the title, like I said, but rather by the influence they have on the lives of others in their circle right there at that coffee shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I want to drill down in that just a little bit. So what do you think about titles for roles? Because we do have titles in this company. We've got CEO, Joe Lloyd. We've got creative manager. We've got lead manager, shift manager. We've got titles. What is the benefit of a title, so to speak?
I think the title sometimes empowers people in a positive way. It allows them to stretch the boundaries of what they're currently doing, maybe. And so if you give somebody a title, as long as it's not this thing of super authority, I'm not lording over you because I have a title. I'm lording over you because I have a title. I can tell you what to do. We try to escape from those type of prototype situations where that's not a leader at Durango Joe's.
Yeah.
The title actually gives you space to serve other people. In a way that you bring people along with you in this journey, and you are influencing them, you're encouraging them, you're actually being a positive like I said, influence.
What would you say a title doesn't give you then? And I think I know what you're gonna say here, but what doesn't a title offer you or doesn't guarantee you perhaps?
Respect. That's earned. We can give you a title, but if you don't have buy-in or you haven't done the work to walk in the shoes of the people that you are quote unquote leading, you're not gonna have respect. And that's a huge piece of being a leader, is understanding that.
Yeah.
I cannot grant you that. You have to earn that. And we've had leaders, honestly, who were great baristas, who stepped up into a title and couldn't handle it. Wasn't their cup of tea. They didn't want to be that kind of influencer in the company, and they either stepped down or left. But hey, not everybody is that kind of leader, mm-hmm. that where you have a title. But we have more people, way more people without titles. So that's where my focus is.
Yeah.
I'm focusing on those that do have titles because we want to, you know, invest in them. But we want to let other people know that if you're just starting out week one, you can influence other people.
Yeah.
Even though you're not in charge, you can influence them.
And why is that important if you're a barista or someone who's in an entry-level position anywhere? Why should I care about having influence or learning about leadership?
Well, because if you do have an aspiration of being with the company for a longer period of time than 2 years, or you really do want to lead, there's things that, and that's why I spell it out for our new employees. There's things that you can do that when you're not in charge, that will get you noticed in a positive way. If you ever want to have a title or move up in the company in a way that gives you more money or more influence, you got to be doing these things first before we will even consider that. So there's some basic things outside of making coffee that I tell my new baristas, hey, this is what you need to do. Even though you're not a leader, if you can do these 10 things and you can start influencing the team that you're working with, you're going to be on a very short list of people that they're going to look to if we need a new shift manager or assistant manager.
Yeah.
And I think fundamentally you believe too that leadership and influence, however you want to word it, is a skill, is a kind of vocation that everyone should, I think, carry with them to some degree wherever they go in life, that it has inherent value. So let's talk about this document that you have developed and kind of where it came from and what its purpose is, this document that's how to lead when you're not in charge.
Yeah, and let me define leadership, servant leadership, because we use the word servant leadership when we're talking about developing people. And so, but our definition for leadership at Durango Joe's, servant leadership is this: if your actions inspire others to dream more, do more, become more, you're a leader. The greatest leaders aren't necessarily the ones who do great things. They're the ones who empower others to do great things. And if you're bringing your team along and they're doing great things, not just you, but when I walk in a store and I say, hey, how's the store doing? And I'm speaking to a manager and they're pointing out different people that are just, you know, they're doing things they've never done before. They're doing latte art now. Or they're upselling really well. Or man, this person who didn't know how to mop, now, every morning when I come in, the store looks awesome. Now, if a leader speaks to those things, I know she's doing he's doing a great job at being a leader. But if a leader says, yeah, I'm this and I'm that, and this is about me, and you know, my sales are up, then I'm thinking, where's the people you're bringing along? Because that's the kind of leadership we want in our stores, is when you bring people along with you for the ride. Because the ride is very lonely if you're sitting at the top all by yourself. And that is not success. That definition of success is not Durango Joe's, being by yourself at the top.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But there are 10 things that we do talk about, and we can take a look at those. That's why we're here today, to take a look at these 10 things.
Let's dissect these a little bit more. So number one on there is be on time. And this is a seemingly simple thing, but I think a lot of people either undervalue it or it's pretty easy to screw up on the other side. So why is being on time so important?
It's paramount. I mean, we hire a lot of people who are, this is their first job. They're 18 years old, 17 years old, and they're learning how to be adults. They're learning how to operate in the real world. They just moved out. They're on their own now. They're at college. They're trying to figure it out. Well, one of the things in life that's so important is being on time if you're going to be successful or if you're going to run your own business. Someday you've got to figure it out. And so we say, if you're on time, you're late, okay? Yeah. Meaning if you run in at 7 a.m. and you're supposed to be in uniform and on bar at 7 a.m. clocked in, and you run in at 7 a.m. and you're not ready to work, you're frazzled, and you just rush towards the computer to clock in at 7, you're late.
And what does that communicate, you think, to your manager, to your teammates, to your peers, to your friends, if that's how you're going about your day?
If you're not ready to start your shift, you got your apron on, you've already kind of checked your face out, there's no, you know, leftovers after, you know, a good night's sleep, and your teeth are clean, and you've maybe had that even first cup of coffee, you're really not ready to start. And what that speaks, it speaks to the team that you're not, yeah, you're not ready, and you're going to potentially let your team down. And so it's important that you're on time, meaning you're 5 to 10 minutes early, preparing yourself to just get through the day in a positive way so you can be a bright spot and make really good coffee. But we've had so many people not get it. You know, hey, I'm here at 7. I'm supposed to start work at 7. Well, yeah, you clock in, then you go to the bathroom, and then it ends up that you actually don't start your shift until 10 minutes after 7. And that's late. And so that's what I mean by being on time. It helps, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. It helps set your team up for success.
Yeah.
The rest of the people on your team. And so,
and I think too, it's going back to that influence piece, your peers and your managers or whatever role you're in, they see that, and they're learning behavior either from you or in contrast to you.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's really important. So number two is have a great attitude. And there's a great Zig Ziglar quote. It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your altitude. That's a tongue twister.
That is a tongue twister.
So how does your attitude affect you as a person?
It makes or breaks your day or your shift. I mean, we all have, and this is the thing, we all have a decision to make. And when we walk into a room, and I've had to learn this, dude, big time, because when I walk into a room or when I walk into a coffee shop, my attitude sets the tone for that store. As a leader, as a CEO of a company, when I walk into a store, if I'm walking in with a scowl on my face, if I'm walking in with a bad attitude, everybody else's mojo and fun dial goes down. And so people's attitude matters. And so you have to make a conscious decision every day to come in and have a good attitude. And we say, you need to check your baggage at the door. Because I want that 5 hours you're going to be working for us to be drama-free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's really why people quit jobs, because there's too much drama. And if you decide, and we can preach to our baristas and management teams to have a good attitude, check that baggage at the door. It's not that we don't care about what's going on in your life, because that's not even close to being true. But we understand how all that stuff can easily affect everybody else, and it could be a cancer, and it could just ruin the day or the month or whatever. And so we ask that people just check their stuff at the door. Hey, if there is a problem in your life, we want to know about it, but let's talk after our shift.
Yeah.
And let Durango Joe's, those 5 hours you're at work, kind of be an escape for you. So you don't have to worry about what's going on outside. You just have to worry about being nice. And then we'll talk about stuff that's going on in your life, because I know there's tough stuff that goes on in people's life. Tough stuff goes on in my life.
Yeah.
That's not easy. And because we're messy people, and people are messy. So it's really important to have a great attitude. Start every shift with a clean slate. Because to be honest with you, we have a reputation that our customers expect that we're a bright spot in their day. And yeah. we want to be that.
100%.
Yeah. And so have a great attitude is huge.
Yeah. And I think a final thought on that, like you mentioned, like you walk into a room and your attitude can have big impacts and big swings on those teams. And I think in large part it's because you are this like massive leader. You have a lot of leadership clout in the community. Or in the stores in our company. But I think also from the barista standpoint too, be careful not to downplay how much influence you can have over your peers with your attitude, just because you feel like you're just there for the day. You're not necessarily a leader with a title. You still have that influence, whether you know it or not. And it's because you're there with these people for so long.
Yeah. And I can't tell you, Trevor, how many times I've talked to a manager. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? And that manager has let a barista who is having a bad day influence their shift.
It flows both ways.
It flows both ways. And I'm like, whoa, you need to rise above this. And let's talk to the barista. Let's talk to, you know, Tom or Mary, and let's just figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, and let's use this as a learning, you know, situation for this barista, because you're living it, you know. You're like, I'm affected. I'm influenced, and I'm having a bad day because she's having a bad day, you know?
Yeah.
So it is, the great attitude's a big piece, and it doesn't really take a bunch of talent to have a great attitude. It just takes making that decision and know that you do have tools that you can use to actually check your baggage at the door.
Yeah, I think if people find that kind of trigger for them, whether that's stepping out of their car, whether that's opening the door into the shop, whether that's coming in 5-10 minutes early to have that first cup of coffee before they clock in, and that first sip of coffee, I think that's what grounds me the most in the mornings. It's like that one cup of coffee. And for me, that's a mental trigger, a habit that I've built to just like start with that clean slate. So I think that's a really powerful tool for people, is find that trigger and get yourself there for yourself and your teammates. So number three is be a team player. What does it mean to be a team player? And you've got, I'm sure, a bunch of information on this because you've got your football background. You've been on all sorts of different types of teams in different capacities. So what do you think it means to be a team player in this context?
Yeah, being a team player is paramount. I mean, I always tell people in this, you're never on an island by yourself, because there's really nothing you do or you could succeed at that doesn't take someone else's help. You need help to succeed. You can't sit there at the register and with four or five people in line and in a way that is a bright spot in people's day, do everything.
Yeah.
You can ring them up. You can upsell them a cash card. You can put a smile on their face, but you've got to pass that drink on to somebody else and label it properly so that they can make the drink so they really have a good day when they get the drink there, but it takes other people. And so being a team player, looking out for one another is paramount. And again, it's educating people on that, because most people get it, even if they've never played on a team. Once you sense being in our stores, you see that, oh yeah, this is a team sport. This is a team thing. Even if you're alone. Now I say this because sometimes we've had closers who are by themselves. Well, guess what they're doing that night? They're setting the next shift up for success.
Yeah.
Which is a team thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave that morning shift hanging with cups that haven't been restocked, or syrup that hasn't been refilled, or floors that haven't been mopped. That's bad news, because that means that morning shift has to do all that stuff. They have to pick up after you. But if you're a real team player, you're going to get that stuff done, because you're not going to see the task. I say this all the time. You're not going to see the task. You're going to see the face of the person that you're setting up for success. So get the task out of your head and see their face, and I guarantee you, you'll do a better job.
Yeah, I love that concept that the team exists outside of the shift. You're working face-to-face with people, and is really a blend of that whole group of people that comes together throughout a day. Yeah. And you may not know an opener very well if you're primarily a closer, or vice versa, but you got to have that person in mind if you're going to be a team player. Yeah. So how do we work with people if we're put on a team? Because we don't often get to choose our teams. How do you feel about working with people who you maybe don't mesh with on a team?
Yeah, well, that happens. That's reality. That's life. And part of really being a influencer is getting past some of that and understanding that as an influencer at Durango Joe's, you're going to have to, we don't ask anybody to hang out with each other outside of Durango Joe's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a requirement to be friends with people. We do make it a requirement to treat people that you work with respect and honor the fact that they might be a little different than you. in the way that they may do a task or whatever. But we have to learn in life to, in order to move on, we got to get along. You know, we got to get along with people. And that's part of growing up, because there's always going to be people in your life that you're not going to mess with.
Yeah. And you still have a mission to accomplish with that person, right, whether or not you mesh with them. So it's not about them. It's about the mission.
Yeah. And if you've got everybody on board to the mission, that we're there to be bright spots in people's day, that we're there so that everyone gets a smile and a warm greeting and a great cup of coffee, then those things you have in common, right?
Yeah, totally.
So there are common denominators. I don't have anything in common with that person. I'm like, no, you don't. You do have things in common, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you focus on. And like I said, after the shift is over, you don't have to be best friends, but man, learn to treat each other with respect.
So number four, we've got have integrity. So define integrity.
Integrity, you know, I think a common real no-brainer is doing the right thing when no one's looking, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a definition that a lot of people have heard, and you kind of, yeah, that's integrity, which is true. Integrity is doing the right thing, I think, and saying the right thing when lying is easier. Sometimes we get in a spot where I'm just not going to tell the truth because it's way easier to explain that than what's true.
Yeah.
And so I always look at when I see integrity, it's somebody who is willing not to give me the easy answers. Integrity is shooting it straight.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah.
I've been in situations with you.
Yeah, I've had to swallow some tough pills on that front, yeah, where, you know, broken some news to you that was less than ideal, yeah, to say the least. But
I'd rather hear that than, yeah, some sugar-coated, you know, version of truth.
Yeah.
Then it becomes literally a lie.
Yeah.
And integrity is having that ability to, again, you know, not taking the extra shift drink when you know no one's looking.
Yeah.
That's integrity, or marking a task off your checklist that you really didn't do, but you just check it because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's integrity, you know? And it's how So it speaks volumes to your character, and it speaks volumes to the person you are when you do have good integrity, when you have integrity.
Yeah.
And we want people to have integrity.
It's a great skill, I think everyone can learn from and carry with them wherever they go.
Yeah, and I'll just say this before we go on to the next one. Integrity is learned, and so is non-integrity learned.
Yes.
I because I've had friends that grew up with parents who weren't integral. They pass that on to their kids. And if you grew up, it's much harder to have integrity when that's been the case. And so, yeah, you have to learn. You have to kind of connect the wires in your head and mostly your heart to be really super intentional about being integral.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's part of it. Because, hey, if a manager's looking to bring someone up in the company, and if they're going, man, this guy or this gal always tells the truth, you know, every time they say they do something, they actually do it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more apt to be that person who's going to be the next shift manager, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if they're being a team player and they're having a great attitude and they're on time.
Yeah. And I think the common theme, again, through all of this too, is like, whether or not you're planning on moving up, your peers see you.
Right.
And so it's an opportunity to really kind of display and inspire them. If everyone's on the same page with that, then it becomes very easy to learn these behaviors and carry them forward. So number five, care for people. This one's really core to what we do. So it kind of, in that sense, kind of feels like a gimme,
yeah.
but where do people trip up or struggle with caring for people?
Yeah. Caring. I mean, if you talk about Drango Joe's why, you know, and again, I'm going to refer back to, you know, Tiffany DeBoer, who's our cultural manager, where she explains our why, you know, and we have our new baristas, you know, watch a Simon Sinek video about knowing your why, which is huge for us. And our why is, you know, we care for people. And so that's, like you said, a gimme, but it's foundational. And I always say that caring for people for an extended period of time really has to be wrapped up in your DNA. Because I think all people care for people, but we want people caring for people for 5 straight hours.
Yeah, in a very specific way.
In a very specific way. And so that is huge. And so it's like I said, it's got to kind of be what makes you tick. When you talk to someone and you can put a smile on your face, that's fuel pouring into your tank. That's what charges you up. And that's not everybody. I have family members. My gosh, I would not hire them in 100 years because they'd rather sit in front of a computer, you know, and accomplish things that way versus being in front of people 5 hours at a time. And so when we hire people, that's a big part of why we hire them is they care for people in that way. And so we need for you to care for people in that way. And if we see that happening day after day, yeah, you're an influencer. Because that kind of attitude, again, back to attitude, that's contagious.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, and being a bright spot, the whole reason that's important is you pass that on to not only your friends and your peers, but to the customers as well. And if they leave the day brighter than, or leave the store brighter than when they started, they're going to pass that on to the people they contact throughout the day as well. So it kind of has this effect of care that hopefully emanates from each of our locations in a sense.
Right.
So number 6, go the extra mile. This one's, again, fairly, like, you hear it, you kind of understand what it means, but what does going the extra mile, or why is going the extra mile so important to leadership? What does it demonstrate?
Well, it demonstrates that you do actually care about your job, and you care about other people, because so many times you have an opportunity to do a little bit more. You know, we live and die at Durango Joe's, and it's my fault because I came up with them. But checklists are very important because when we hire somebody, and you understand this, Trevor, we hire them from all different angles of life, and they're coming from college, they're coming from families, they're coming from all different angles. And so I don't want any of our baristas to think that you have to know or remember everything. So we put everything on a checklist that you need to accomplish before you go out the door that day, and you can pat yourself on the back going, man, I did one heck of a job. I completed the checklist. I made great coffee and I was a bright spot in people's day. You can grade yourself every day as an employee. Yeah. If you've done everything on that checklist. So here's what but oftentimes you can get done with that checklist pretty quickly and you can move on to another checklist and do some of the things that next shift potentially could be doing and really helping them out.
Yeah, suddenly you're a team player.
You're going above and beyond. We've had baristas or management teams who have gone above and beyond, go the extra mile, I should say, with our customers. Yeah, we've had customers who have come in, they've just lost a family member or they've just put down a dog. We at that point in time, their drink is free. That's really not going the extra mile. That should be normal for us. But then going the extra mile is we've had managers do this. We find out where they live. We'll send them flowers.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we've shown up for the funeral if they've lost somebody close to them. And guess what? They've come to Durango Joe's. I call Durango Joe's, and this is again, not part of this, but I'm going to say it. They call Starbucks the third place.
Yeah.
I call Durango Joe's the first place because I say this because it's oftentimes the first place they come when something really great happens or when something really bad happens. Because one, they know they're going to get celebrated if they come and they say, hey, I had this happen in my life today. You know, my daughter or my wife had a baby.
Yeah.
And they're showing pictures to the entire staff and all this stuff. Or they're saying, you know, hey, my dog got put down today. And they know we're going to grieve with them. And so I call that the first place they show up when something great happens or when something really bad happens because we're loving on them. I can't tell you how many times my wife has gotten from behind the counter and came out to somebody to meet them and give them a hug and cry with them when something bad has happened.
Yeah.
But that's because she cares so deeply for people.
It's super powerful experience.
Yeah. But that's just, some of that stuff is going the extra mile. And if you see somebody, it takes zero talent, but man, I'll tell you what, it gets you 100% respect from your team. In fact, all these things will give you that. All these things really take zero talent, but they get you 100% respect from your team.
Totally. And I love that we got the behind the bar, what that looks like, helping out your team. Yeah. We got that on the other side, that customer side. So that was great. So number seven, be passionate. Now, I'm only here to get me through college or to pay bills or just to have fun because coffee is a fun thing. Why is passion important?
Yeah, I would say be passionate, be empowered. I want you to find something that you can, because it's a lot funner when you're an expert at something or you're really good at something or you're super passionate about something and people look to you and go, hey, you're really good at latte art. Can you teach me how to do what you're doing? Well, you become passionate about that. And I've had people passionate about cleaning the espresso machine. And I love those people. But every time you walk in, they know the ins and out of that machine and they're cleaning it and they know how important it is. They become passionate. And so I always give permission. I love to give permission to our new team members to say, hey, get passionate about something. Find out all you can know about coffee. You know, do Google coffee and where it comes from. And although we do classes and all that kind of stuff, it's just an extra step. So, and then really not only work becomes a little more interesting, so does life when you're passionate about something. So yeah, I want everybody to be good at whatever we do, you know, but it's fun to see the light bulb go on when they get passionate about a certain thing.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for someone who maybe did get hired because they just wanted a job or a paycheck to take care of their bills or have some fun money or anything like that? How does someone like that find or identify passion?
Well, what we do is we open the door for that. We offer a lot of different classes, you know, for baristas to be able to take. So so it's just not talked about at the bar. We expect them to take the classes like latte art class, coffee knowledge class, upselling class, servant leadership courses we're developing right now. And so there's a lot of ways that they can start to kind of get their, you know, get the wheels turning. Yeah. Not just by us saying it once, but they're hearing things repeatedly about certain things they can get passionate about. And I'll tell you right now, we celebrate the people that are super passionate. They get recognized. We have Barista of the Year.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, baristas that get even nominated, they're passionate about something.
Oh yeah.
Some of them are passionate about making Frappe Joes really good.
And they do it.
You know, and that's awesome.
And their customers know they do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. Number eight is be coachable. So we've already talked about being a team player, but what does it mean to be on that other side, to be coachable?
Yeah, really two words or three words, open to feedback. I think that is probably one of the, as a young person or as a person that's maybe had, this is their first experience in getting a job, man, we've got to be open to feedback because I have to be open to feedback as the CEO. Obviously, that's a big part of my growth is opening that door so people felt comfortable telling me that I suck at that or that wasn't appropriate or whatever, giving me feedback or feedback, hey, you did a good job. That was great, you know?
Yeah.
But when you have to swallow the hard pill of feedback that's constructive criticism feedback, those are moments where that leads you to success. Yeah. When you can figure that out. Because the message and the messenger is sometimes they're not doing that right. So as somebody that's growing up in life, you have to realize, okay, they didn't say it perfect, but what they said is actually really true. They could have framed it much better, you know?
Yep.
Pick me, man. I've framed a lot of stuff the wrong way in giving feedback to people over the years. And I have to learn from that. And sometimes it's by them coming up to me going, hey, the way you said that, I don't really appreciate it. You know, I'm like, oh crap, right. Yeah, I could have said that a lot different, you know? But yeah, that's a forever kind of skill to learn.
Yeah, it takes a while to swallow ego.
Oh, ego's huge. And the people that really succeed at Durango Joe's, at the end of the day, they're super coachable. And again, it doesn't take a ton of talent. It does take practice. But man, somebody that's coachable, in my head, gets 100% respect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How would you say coachability is different from just being able to do a good job in the first place? So let's say, like, I do a good job, I get high marks, I show up on time, I get all of my projects and tasks done on time, I play well with others. Why is it still important for someone like me to be coachable in that situation?
Well, I think if you have the mindset of you're always learning, you know, I think that's huge. Every time somebody gets to a point of, I got this figured out, or I know it all, then they don't receive feedback very well. They're usually giving really inappropriate feedback because they know it all. And then they're telling people what to do versus coaching people in doing the right thing. And so people then, so that kind of person develops when they quit hearing feedback because they think they know it all. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. I think that speaks to it exactly.
Yeah.
So number nine, prepare yourself. Talk about what it is to be prepared. We talk a little bit about this in number one, be on time, but what do you mean, or what does it mean to be prepared?
Yeah, and I have a low bar here. And again, when I talk to people about being prepared, it's like, don't come to work like you've just rolled out of bed, all right? Yeah. I mean, that's a low bar. I mean, we want to get a little higher than that. But again, we are training young people, young adults, to live in a real adult world. And part of that is being prepared. Being prepared in how you look and how much sleep you've gotten, you know. Playing video games to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then having to open a store doesn't work. That's not being prepared. That's being really kind of lazy. And again, it goes to really not being disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to start to develop those habits of discipline and being prepared, coming to work, you know, prepared to perform the best every day, you know, and good preparation helps everything else fall into place for your day.
Yeah. I mean, not showing up prepared is, I think, kind of inherently laziness to some degree. But I think beyond that, it's also selfish.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer setting your team up for success, touching back on a couple of those other points. But you're also, I think, signaling potentially to your peers and to your manager or whoever it is that their time or their effort isn't really worth it,
yeah,
in a sense. Because again, you're part of this cohesive team and each individual, I think, comes together and culminates that team. And if one piece is off, that kind of detracts from the whole,
yeah,
to some degree. So I think preparing yourself is, not just lazy in some cases, but certainly selfish in others.
Yeah, well put. I like that.
So number 10, be accountable. What is accountability? And I'm glad we didn't bring Vicky in on this because she would go into accounting.
Right.
But what is accountability?
Accountability, it's just really for me taking ownership of things that happen, you know, being accountable. And that's really for the wins and the losses. You know, I want people to be accountable, meaning I tell them, I want to hear the wins. That's part of being accountable. When you've had a situation where there's been a big success, you know, on your shift or somebody's come in and your staff went the extra mile to really make their day a really blessed day. I want to hear, I love the high fives, but also, man, if we're in a talking and there's 3 or 4 of us and we're going, who dropped the ball on this? And if it's you, man, let's just take ownership. And go, I made a mistake. It was me. Because the faster you take ownership of a situation, the less painful the situation becomes. I will give a person 1,000% grace if they're like, it was me. I'll tell you what. I'm going to say it, Trevor, because you're in the room.
Yep.
Okay? You made a mistake this year.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, it could have changed the way a lot of what we did this year. I mean, it had a huge impact.
Don't worry, I'm going to edit all this out.
That's
so
right.
You can say whatever you want.
But the point is, you and again, it was an error. It wasn't like it was intentional. That's the thing. It wasn't this malicious error that you made. It was like a clerical error in a sense of deleting something off your computer, which you totally thought you were doing the right way, but it ended up not being that way.
Yeah.
And so just to say that, you came to me right away. It was like, I didn't have to come to you and go, why is my Google Docs not working? You called me and went, hey, dude, Joe, you're going to find out Google Docs is not working. And I like said, why? You explained it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But you took ownership. And that ownership said a ton of me, ton to me about your character and about how I would respond in the long run to what just happened. Yeah. It gave me permission to give you grace instead of what else, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's being accountable.
Pro tip for the record too, it really counts to be working on or have a solution in mind very quickly in these types of situations. Right. Like, be accountable, but also be a solver in a sense. That goes a long ways, along with that integrity piece of accountability.
Because everybody's going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I for one, have made probably more than anybody. But the fact is, just owning them and learning that it's okay to make a mistake in our company, it really is, if you own up to it.
And that's not true a lot of places,
right,
if I'm honest. So that's really, truly incredible.
Yeah, and I can say that with full integrity.
Yes.
That there's been enough times where we allow that. We just know people are growing up.
Yeah, there's permission to fail because we trust and know that people are learning through it. Yeah. And if they demonstrate that learning through it, I think that's where all of the grace and leadership and respect comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, as a young person, if you develop these 10 things in your work life at Durango Joe's, again, you may not move up in a position or desire that, but when you move on from Durango Joe's, you are going to be a way better version of yourself. And other people that hire you down the way are going to look at you and they're going to go, this person has their act together. They're always on time. They have a great attitude. They're a team player. I can trust them. They actually care for their customers, you know? And they're passionate. And when I tell them stuff that they don't want to hear about their performance, they're coachable. Wow. Mm-hmm. And when they screw up or when they do something great, man, they let me know right away. And at the end of the day, that's super important. And you notice, Trevor, that none of these things talk about coffee.
Yeah.
It's all about character, not coffee. And I'm more about raising up a generation of leaders that have really good character than I am about raising up a generation of leaders that know how to really make great coffee. That's important to me, the coffee.
Yeah.
That's huge. Don't screw coffee up. But yeah, but man, this is why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to have, you know, Steve come on these podcasts and share some of his passion, because he's so uniquely qualified as a general manager. He has so much stuff I don't in being able to relate with people that I need that guy. And Tiffany's the same way. And you bring, you know, a diverse, you know, skill set to our team that's been very much appreciated. And it sucks that you're leaving, but you're still going to be doing this podcast with me.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. But the point is that we have a diverse team that have so many different gifts that I really can't wait for the rest of our audience to hear about the rest of these team members. Because, you know, when they do come onto the podcast, you're going to get as much out of what they say as I say, or even more. Because like I told you, some of these, they know more than I do about Durango Joe's in some ways. So I can't wait for them to be guests on our podcast in the near future.
Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to producing more legendary content for you to enjoy. If you liked this episode, tune in and subscribe for more wherever you listen to podcasts. The Durango Joe's podcast is produced and published by Durango Joe's Coffee. In this episode, you heard from founder and CEO, Joe Lloyd. It was written, recorded, and edited by yours truly, Trevor Ogborn. Durango Joe's. Love people, love coffee.
Don't worry, I'm going to edit all this out. So you can say whatever you want.